son. Where'd you find this?
Bonito's coming off the edge. That is in the air to Lockett.
Hey, this is Rob, this is Jason, and you're listening to The Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game with Joe and Joe.
This is a certified hood classic.
No Spadoni today, it's Shasky and Grandy with you, and that highlight you just heard, Guy Haberman on KPIX, it was Mac Jones' 50-yard completion to rookie fourth-round wide receiver Jordan Watkins. Shasky, the Niners scored 9 points. They had a touchdown and they had a safety. So essentially, there were not a lot of highlights to speak of for the Niners. That was one of them, though. A 50-yard completion to the speedster rookie out of Ole Miss, Jordan Watkins. Looked pretty good. I mean, he had some other moments that weren't great, but that was, all right, maybe the Niners got something there.
Yeah, there were a couple of plays. First play of the game, a little play action. Guy coming into his face, made a really nice throw. I thought that Mac actually looked decisive, and for the most part looked good. The interception, a little slow. Thought he was late to throw out into the flat. You can't throw that deep into the flat or into the sideline beyond the sticks late like that and behind a guy, and it was going to get picked. But that throw on the touchdown, just a great toss. And I thought that Watkins did a great job fighting till the end of the ball coming to its apex.
A really hard catch.
And making a great contested catch and run after it against a starting nickel guy for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the interception that you're talking about with Mac Jones was also while he was targeting Jordan Watkins. I think you're right. Mac released it late and got it out there late. Watkins didn't do him any favors. He didn't really fight back through the ball and try to knock it away. You got to become the defender at that point and at least fight through to try to knock it away. But that I think leads into exactly what we're talking about, because in specifically when you're going to have to rely on young guys and without Ayuk to begin the year, who the hell knows what's going to happen with Juwan Jennings? And you got a guy in Ricky Pearsall who has tended to show an inability to stay healthy. You might need to rely on these young guys, and there might be a chance that you come week one and maybe you need to throw to Jordan Watkins, and Brock Purdy hasn't done that in a game before. There's a possibility of that.
They're working in DeMarcus Robinson a lot, and he looks really good.
He did look good, but he might get suspended.
No, he will be at some point, and so you're going to not have him for the first couple of games. Again, starting hot is really important for this team. We all recognize like they're kind of thin. They're kind of a work in progress. And last year, starting off slow, did them in. And I think that this year, the last thing that they want to do is get off to a slow start. And so all of these little opportunities to just build continuity and positivity, I'd be jumping all over. You know, Brock sounds like he wants to play in a lot of these preseason games, or at least get some kind of suit up and ready to roll. And I watched CMC on the sidelines in the joint practice. That guy wants to play.
Well, he always wants to play, but McCaffrey,
you gotta have restrictor plates. I get it.
McCaffrey is the kind of guy where you have to protect him from himself.
Because
if McCaffrey had it his way, he'd play every snap of every preseason game.
Yeah, and that's too much. Like, there's a fine line, and you run the risk. Look, McCaffrey, I don't even want to say this, but anyone can get injured in any drill, in any time on the practice field. You know, and so this thing that, like, what if someone gets hurt? Hey, look, it happens. It's football. You know, Siegel was a safety that looked unbelievable for like a quarter and a half, and then he got hurt.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, wow, like, this is a guy that needs to play right away. That's what my takeaway was. Like, if we were talking about a guy who could have major impact on this season, who I think showed out on Saturday, and I was like, wow, what a revelation. Was this number 36 Siegel?
Yeah, you're talking about Marquis Siegel, fifth round pick, a safety out of Kansas State. And safety has got to be one of the most wide open positions on the team right now.
Mustafa, who knows where he's at physically.
Mustafa is not going to be ready week one. He might miss six games, like maybe seven. Who knows? We don't know how many games he's going to miss. If I were to project out who I think is going to start at safety week one, it's probably Pinnock and Siegel. Like, that would be my guess.
I would guess Grant and Pinnock, but I think Siegel has a good opportunity over the next couple of weeks to win the job.
The other guy is Jair Brown, who was a high draft pick a couple years ago, but he's also hurt right now, and even when he's healthy, hasn't been great, and he's kind of fallen out of favor in that room. So that is wide open, and in terms of this is why I think, which is what makes how I don't know, tough of a watch it was. Interesting. This was the most... This preseason as a whole is the most important preseason the Niners have had in a long time, in my opinion.
Why do you say that?
Because they have so many open jobs.
Seven, eight?
You go into last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, even 4 years ago, it's like, all right, we know who's going to be playing like every single position. But this year, it's like, all right, who's going to be the linebacker opposite Fred? Probably going to be D. Winters, but we don't really know that 100%. Who's going to be your nickel corner? Who's going to be corner two if Renardo Green can't go? Who's going to be both of your safeties? Who's going to play on the interior of the defensive line? And is Mykal Williams going to be good enough to immediately start opposite Nick Bosa on the outside? That's just on defense. You have questions literally everywhere. So in my mind, this preseason is as important as it's ever been in the Shanahan era, maybe other than the first couple of years of the Shanahan era. Since they've been good, this is the most important preseason because you have so many question marks everywhere. And on offense, you've got questions at the wide receiver spot, maybe your third running back, but those are normal things. But defense specifically, you have so many questions, which is why seeing something from Marquise Siegel, a fifth-round rookie safety, could legitimately have an impact on the rest of the season because he might be your starter. He legitimately might be come week one.
And we didn't see Upton Stout, who has been probably, from all the reporters that I was talking to on Thursday, sounds like he's been their best rookie.
Nickel corner likely is his spot.
CJ West, who has been maybe the second best of the rookies.
D-tackle out of Indiana.
But he's been really dominating like individual drills. And once they've gone to more of the team format stuff, not that he hasn't looked good. He has looked good, but just not as dominant as he was in some of these one-on-ones. So I thought he flashed a little on Saturday. We're talking about a handful of things. And I think like that gets me to this other point that I've had about the Niners and just the Giants stuff. I think at any given time, the Bay Area fan has like only so much fan width, right? Mm-hmm. If the Warriors and the Niners and the Giants are all playing at the same time, like, you know, the Giants would be in the World Series. You know, you'd be dedicating a certain percentage to your fan width if you love baseball to the Giants. If the Niners are 0-8 or whatever at that same given time, or 0-6 if it's October, you know, maybe you're not dedicating
they're
as
on
much
the back burner now
of your fan width to them. And then the Warriors are starting up and they still have Steph Curry and you love the Warriors and you're dedicating a certain amount of fan width to them. So at any given time, one of them kind of takes precedent over the other two. And I was thinking about the opportunity that the Giants had. Think about that Niner game. Think about how few real storylines are coming out of that game. We were all fired up for Niner football. I was pumped. Sit down. After about a quarter and a half, what are we
so
all thinking?
So excited. After a quarter and a half, we're like, all right, this game can end now.
Yes.
Please.
Imagine if the Giants were just 7 or 8 games better than what they are right now. They would be the talk.
They'd have the full attention of everybody in this town.
100%. I think we all like assume, oh, football's back, Giants dead, they're done no matter what they're doing. If the Giants were just better, 7-8 games better right now, we would be considering 3 hours worth of Giants talk. I'm so sad after what I watched this weekend that their season is basically over on August 11th. That's sad to me.
It feels that way.
There's 2 months left in the season.
You just got beat at home by the Washington Nationals.
James Wood basically kicked your butt.
You scored 2 runs in the final 18 innings of that series. Mackenzie Gore shoved yesterday. He's a hell of a pitcher, although he's been really bad lately.
Yeah,
guess what? He's a lefty. Giants don't hit lefties,
at all.
Period. Worst team in baseball versus lefties. The sentiment that you're talking about, I get a lot of this from fans, too. I tweeted out after the end of the game just some of the sobering numbers from the Giants, and someone responded. This is my guy Carlos on Twitter.
Give it to me.
He says, I'm sick of Giants baseball. I'm slowly checking out. Bring on the NFL season. I'm over this baseball season. For a Bay Area sports fan to feel that way, tweeted at me on August 10th, the day after a preseason game to forget for the 49ers. You know how sad that is?
That's what I'm saying.
That's so sad.
Let me give you another sad thing about the Giants. Have we crushed Willy Adames this year?
Oh, absolutely. Especially the first like 2.5-3 months of the year.
Right. What if I told you that Matt Chapman is pretty much worse than him in just about every single metric outside of overall OPS?
Wow. Do you have the numbers?
Yeah, I'm looking at all the numbers right now, and like, he's just not good. Like, right now, Willy Adames played 117 games. basically 20 more, 25 more than Matt Chapman. More home runs, more RBIs, more walks, way more strikeouts, couple less steals, but more runs, way more hits, more doubles. They're the same when it comes to triples. Like, as bad as Willy Adames has been,
they're hitting the same now, average-wise.
There's an argument to be made. Matt Chapman's been worse. And his injury came at a worse time. And part of why they are where they're at is that Matt Chapman's just flying under the radar for criticism.
There's always been a bigger scapegoat. Early in the year, it was Adames. And of late, it's been, I mean, really everybody, but specifically Devers and the pitching staff.
Sure.
That has been the thing that has taken all of our attention away. You're right. I mean, he's having a really rough year. And if it wasn't for, like, two really good months at the end of last year... Last year was also pretty bad
to
begin.
It was a tough start.
He was amazing down the stretch. I think it's easy for a lot of Giants fans, and myself included is in this group, to kind of not necessarily forget about the end of the season when he was so good, but it's also partly like, well, the season was already kind of over by the time you started to figure things out and play great. Not entirely, but he was great in September when they were... Not technically eliminated, but
no, basically.
Eliminated.
The season was over September 1st.
Yeah.
Guess what? The season is over and it's August 11th.
You really feel that way? It's done.
The season is over.
I don't know.
O-V-E-R.
You're getting your knockout punch this week with the Padres in town.
From the 415, Christian Koss got a standing ovation for pitching the ninth inning after getting shut out. That's where we're at.
That's from the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text.
Did throw a pretty good ninth.
It didn't give up a run.
But think about this. Like, the Giants had this opportunity right now. Like, because the Niners aren't, like, we're still a couple of weeks away from real Niner football.
Yeah.
Most of my diehard buddies have never seen CMC, Trent, Kittle, or Purdy on the field yet. They're not at practice. They haven't seen any of the joint stuff. They've watched videos from people that are posting. They have not seen them with their own eyes. They have not laid their own eyes on those guys. And we're already like, all right, get me to Niner football. It's August 11th. It's just, I.
It's like way earlier than the last few years we were punting on the season, too. Like, these last few years, like, we at least got into September before it's like, okay, you guys are on the back burner now. This year, again, it is August 11th, and it's, yeah, pending a absolute miracle that we've never seen before. It's over.
Miracles only happen in the movies, buddy, all right? And trust me, I'm religious.
So depressing.
I believe in Jesus. But, like, give me a break here, guys. Come on. Like, this isn't a Disney movie, all right? It's the Giants team.
I think Disney rejected the script.
This is a Giants team that is relying on a couple of good starts from Verlander to be extrapolated out through the rest of the year. Oh, he's actually better than everybody thinks. He was supposed to be the three heading into this year. Landon Roop was supposed to be out maybe a week. It's been three. Where's Birdsong? Is he alive? What's going on in AAA? Like you're laughing, but it's true. I'm not even mad at Carson Wisenhunt. Like, people are going to be mad. He got brought up not because he was so excellent at AAA. He got brought up because of injuries.
They had no other options.
Yeah, so I'm not even as harsh on him. Like, they are screwed right now. They traded away their bullpen, which was the right thing to do. I don't even know if they gave enough. I would have traded away Wilmer Flores as well. I don't know why Wilmer's on this team right now. We've got 7,000 DHs. This team is sad. And the saddest part is that they had an opportunity to capture the eyes, the hearts, and the minds of Giants fans and the Bay Area sports fan for a couple of weeks more into August, and they couldn't even do that. That's the part that is the most depressing this morning.
Yeah, they lost 8-0 yesterday. They got out-hit 17-3. I got some more numbers for you, but first, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Shasky, the Giants just wrapped up a 40-game stretch where they had, and we were calling it in the moment, an easier schedule. This was the opportunity for them.
Who are we to thumb our nose down at anyone in baseball?
We are the easy schedule right now.
What are we doing?
This was an opportunity to make some hay and take some steps up in the standings. Over the last 40 games, 25 of those games, so more than half, were against teams with sub-500 records.
Okay.
In those 40 games, the Giants went 15-25.
All right.
So 10 games under in 40 games, where more than half of those games are versus teams with sub-500. Not just barely sub-500. We're talking about the Nationals. We're talking about six games against the Pirates. We're talking about a number of bad teams that are in there as well. The Miami Marlins, now they're close to 500. The White Sox, who beat you in a series. A lot of really, really bad teams. And now what's coming up? Padres, Rays, Padres, Brewers, Cubs. Over the next stretch of games, you have, let's see, that's 3, 6, 9, 12, 16 games, because there's a five-game series or a four-game series in there. You're playing against teams with a combined winning percentage of about 56%. So all teams coming up are above 500 other than the Rays, who are right below. So this easy schedule that isn't really all that easy, as the Giants proved, now gets really difficult. And I think what Sam said is true. The Padres are coming into town, and they take two of three. They sweep this series, and they're putting the final nail, not just the final nail in the coffin, they're hammering down that last nail completely, making it flush with your coffin to end your season. I don't see how they come back.
Let's have fun. You want to have fun?
That seems sarcastic.
You want to have fun? Let's have fun. Dead last in stolen bases. This is the Giants as a team.
Oh, my God. This is not fun.
28th in hits. 27th in slugging. 26th in batting average.
Wow, dude.
26th in home runs. 24th in runs scored. 25th in OPS. 23rd in RBIs. 23rd in doubles.
This is stupid.
21st in OBP.
I am shook.
We could argue about the stadium till we're blue in the face. 28th in hits, 26th in batting average, dead last in stolen bases, 27th in slugging, 26th in homers.
It's unacceptable.
23rd in RBIs. If they were just 17th in RBIs, where would they be at right now? How many second and thirds? This is where like the stadium thing completely misses me. How many runners in scoring position less than two outs do we get a non-productive out, a strikeout, a pop-up, or a ground out that doesn't result in the runner advancing?
It seems like 75% of the time.
What does that have to do with park dimensions?
Absolutely nothing.
If I hear one other person bring up park dimensions, I am going to shove this notebook so far up where the sun don't shine. It is driving me insane. This offense has let them down. And thank God you got Devers, who hit an absolute moonshot over the weekend. You'd be dead last in every category. Thank God you overpaid for Willy Adames. Thank God you did. Because you are remedial at so many things offensively around the diamond. It's disgusting. You got three hits on Saturday with basically, we all knew, it was like, hey, you know, we got to figure this out. And you got eight hits, or maybe it was three hits yesterday, excuse me, eight hits on Saturday. Your season on the line. Rubber match. Three hits. And Christian Koss is pitching in the ninth inning.
And he got a standing ovation. That was the thing that the Giants gave their fans to cheer about.
How disappointing. Like, this is one of the most disappointing Giants seasons I can remember in a long time. And it's not because I thought they were some, like, world beater. Like, last year, Niner season, very disappointing. Coming off of a Super Bowl, very disappointing. You know, I kind of get it, though. And I'm not making excuses. Like, extremely disappointing. Warriors after the title. Extremely disappointing.
Yep.
Okay. This is more disappointing than those, because at least there's like, hey, hangover from winning it all or being on the precipice of winning it all. You've been god awful for 9 of the last 10 years. Awful. Awful. One winning season since 2017 started. Okay. You have no excuse to be mathematically eliminated by almost every metric by the middle of August. With the payroll that you have, it's almost impossible to do that. And then you got the manager coming out saying, you know, we owe the fans more. Let's play the Bob Melvin.
Bob Melvin post game, I mean, after getting shut out, losing 8-0, getting out hit 17-3, losing a series at home to the lowly Washington Nationals, who have 70 losses on the year. Here's Bob Melvin post game. Oh, let's start this one
other
over.
Than that.
Here we go. Ready? Here it is. Bob Melvin postgame.
I mean, we have 40,000 people here. We don't give them anything to root for the entire game other than that. So, unfortunately, that probably is as disappointing a game we've had all year. Back to JV, strikes out the side in the first and has that moment. That was great. But, you know, he's got a lot of accomplishments, a lot of stripes.
I mean, the Verlander thing means nothing to me.
The question was, what was it like to see Verlander get the 3,500 strikeouts?
A number that nobody knew about, cares about.
And Bob said, I mean, yeah, sure, whatever. That's the only thing we gave our fan base to cheer about.
What matters less tomorrow? The Giants on the field or the second half of that Niner game?
What matters less tomorrow? Oh, I mean, I think it's still the Giants, I think.
That's the saddest sentence I have ever uttered.
But the fact that I have to even think about it for a second is embarrassing.
We haven't even played a second preseason game.
We're talking about Carter Bradley and Tanner Mordecai potentially being more important than Giants baseball in the middle of August.
The majority of schools go back at some point this week. A lot of them I'm seeing. School hasn't even started, and they're done. I don't even know
what that coming from the manager.
Nothing you can do about.
That feels like a big deal.
Yeah, no, what that feels like is basically the manager admitting, like, I'm done. That's what it feels like. Someone's got to go, and it's probably going to be me. And I think that they picked up his option knowing where this was going, and I think it's a nice severance package. And thank you, Bob. You're a good dude. We got to try something else. We can't do this again. It's over. It's not, honestly, it's not even Bob's fault. I don't even blame Bob. It's just, do I think he's great? No. This is on players and personnel, meaning the players that you did pay, like Matt Chapman, flying under the radar of criticism. We have destroyed Willy Adames, rightfully, and I think that he's been a lot better as of recent, but still not good enough, okay? We've destroyed Devers. He just got here. He's clearly injured. He has not been good enough. I agree. The Verlander's gotten his bulk of criticism.
Yep.
Matt Chapman has flown under the radar. Flown under the radar for criticism. He's been terrible. Just as bad as these other guys that are making a ton of money. All right? So if we're going to, like, lose our minds, I know. I don't think Bob's the best. Some of these guys making big-time money need to wake up and accept criticism. But they're good dudes, and so we're not going to criticize them. Guess what? Matt Chapman, admit it. You haven't been good enough this year. It's okay. Your approach at the plate with runners in scoring position has been disgusting. We could go back and look at, I'd say, 40 at-bats where he has uppercut swang through how many first, second, and third strike pitches with runners in scoring position trying to hit the three-run tank. Dog, hit the ground ball to second base. Hit the fly ball to right field. Change your approach. You've been in the bigs for 8 years. Like, it honestly, you know when you see these Will Clark videos with him and Burns and they're losing their minds?
Yep.
Matt Chapman should be disgusted with some of these at-bats with runners in scoring position. For a guy who is as tenured as he is in the game to swing and miss the way he does and look so lifeless trying to hit knocks, put the ball in play. A, it's a bad look to the young guys. And B, like, show some pride. Show some pride as a big leaguer and put the ball in play. Like, honestly, it's for a team that hits so few home runs to strike out this much, it's embarrassing. It really is. I'm sorry. It just drives me nuts.
What if I were to ask you this, and we can get into this when we come back. This is what's coming up on the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Where would you rather have been over the weekend? Giants, Nationals on Sunday, or Niners, Broncos preseason game on Saturday?
Specifically the second half.
Specifically the second half.
It's one thing if you showed up. We give you
free tickets. Free tickets to Giants, Nationals Sunday when they get three-hit shutout, lose 8-0, or go to the most forgetful preseason game, specifically the second half, Niners, Broncos. On Saturday at Levi's Stadium, where would you rather be? 888-957-9570. Plus, I know we got to get into the Niners' offensive line because they got some problems. And I know Shasky wants to talk about Trent Williams.
I want to retcon a take from last week, an opinion that I had, which I believe to my core. And now I'm moving it. I'm moving the bar on who I think is the most important 49er.
Okay, we'll get into that on the other side as well. That's what's coming up on the game. Again, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. It's the Morning Roast, Shasky and Grandy. I'm in for Spadoni. More next on 95.7 The Game.